Stu Does America.
We are getting into general election time, boys and girls. State of the Race is the podcast you can get for free on the Stu Does America audio stream. Make sure to check that out. We also have a question we've been thinking about for a very long time, and we finally, I think, come up with the answer to it, which is, has Corinne Jean-Pierre ever worn the same outfit twice? Has that ever happened? We have a full investigation up on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit the bell for notifications. You can get this show there, by the way, for free every day as well. Rob Eno is here to explain how the media will be covering for Biden tonight after his big speech. Jason Buttrell is going to join us with a new documentary he's working on the border. But we're going to start by doing the State of the Union 2024. As you may know, we are very less than an hour away from the actual State of the Union coverage, which starts here on Blaze TV. I'll be hosting that. I will have Dave Landau on the show, Sarah Gonzalez on the show, Michael Malice on the show. Jason Buttrell is going to join me there as well. Glenn Beck. We're going to have a great crew. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be like a roast. We're just going to be hammering Biden, taking him to task for all of his misstatements, making fun of him incessantly. It's going to be a blast. I think you're going to like it. So what's going to happen tonight? Well, Joe Biden plans a feisty economic reset. Among the ideas he's eyeing, driving down the cost of prescription drugs, which I feel like he's promised in every speech I've ever heard from him. When you get to be his age, prescription drugs become kind of a big part of your life, so I can understand that. Cracking down on junk fees. The odd obsession with junk fees is really fascinating. I mean, look, nobody likes them, but is it a major economic issue to you? I mean, I don't know. I don't think it normally is. I think it's, you think more of like, do I have a job? Is the economy overall collapsing? Are there millions of people crossing the border on a monthly basis? You know, those types of things. Yeah, kind of important. Hey, that $8 extra fee. Yeah, I mean, important in some ways, but really not the purview of the president. Also expanding the housing supply and emphasizing tax fairness. It looks like he's going to throw $5,000. Again, he's trying to buy votes. He's going to throw $5,000 at all new people trying to buy homes for the first time. We will see if that gets done. Biden's 2023 State of the Union proposals, what flopped and what succeeded. This comes from the Washington Post. And I bring this up because this is what happens, right, with the State of the Union. And these guys come out and they're like, okay, we're going to make a bunch of proposals. We're going to throw them all out there, and then all of them are going to fail, and no one's ever going to check up on it. And then, of course, with Biden, and we've seen this with like PolitiFact, that fact checks all the promises made. They just don't rate the ones that he fails on. And when he does succeed, they give him the best possible treatment. And that's kind of what I expected, honestly, out of this article from the Washington Post, saying, hey, what flopped and what succeeded out of the 2023 list. And I can't go through all of them because it would take the entire monologue. But let me just give you a rundown of the pass or fail, succeed or fail grades here on Joe Biden from last year's State of the Union. Fail, fail, question mark, fail, 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 success, 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 fail, success, fail, 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 fail. Fail, fail, fail. But other than that, things are going well. Let me just give you, I got to at least give you a couple of these successes. The successes, this is incredible. Reduction in IRS funding. They rejected a reduction in IRS funding. He also had a bipartisan legislation to strengthen antitrust enforcement. I mean, if that's not the sexiest election issue, I don't know what is. What else do we have here? I mean, there's just not a lot on here. Let's see if I can find. It's just amazing looking through this list. He got new funding for the IRS. That's pretty much it. It's not a good list. It's a short one, and it's not good. Katie Britt will be here to enter the national stage with a State of the Union response. She's, of course, from Alabama, new senator, kind of up and coming. People are talking about her a decent amount. She's been floated as a potential VP, probably way too early for that. But she's young and she's female. And, you know, again, we all talk about how we don't like identity politics. And then I guess we just every time seem to expressly wish for politicians with these intersectional qualities to rise to the top of the Republican Party. I don't know if that's the right thing. It seems to me that we should just be judging people on merit. And she seems to have some good features and some bad. State of the Union guests are going to be, of course, at the White House. You know what this is? The typical parade of people. in terrible, terrible positions due to Republican evil, you know, people who wanted to have IVF treatment. And they were in the middle of their IVF treatment, and then they couldn't get it. Now, of course, that this didn't prevent anyone who was in the middle of their IVF treatment from having it in one of the 50 states. And of course, you know, again, this is probably the most extreme example, right? You get an IVF ban coming from the courts, essentially, and they're just interpreting the law. And so Alabama, maybe the brightest red state in the country, they come out and like fix the issue in 2 weeks. Now, whether you think it's the right ruling or the wrong ruling, the scare tactic is insane, right? Like, if this was an actual problem, it's already been fixed. Yeah, they're going to bring her out. They're going to have people that had to cross state lines for abortions. They're going to find some people involved, you know, that were victims of gun violence. You know, some people who are supposedly helped by the Inflation Reduction Act. I assume it's just going to be cohorts of Joe Biden and his friends that are now really, really rich. We'll see if that's the case. Of course, Biden is in hardcore prep mode. Yep, that's right. Biden shares a State of the Union prep photo and mockery ensues. And here's the photo. It's just Joe Biden looking at a page that has like four lines on it. The font is like 88 font. I think it's Comic Sans. I'm not sure. He's going, I mean, how big would the binder be if he had a whole State of the Union written in that font and that far spaced apart? I don't know. It'd be very, very long. Again, my top piece of advice for the president of the United States, if I were in his camp, is keep it short. Go out there, show some energy, 18 and a half minutes, give or take, including all the applause, sounds about right. I don't even want proposals out of you. I want 5 minutes. I want State of the Union is strong, as much quick applause as you can just drag it out. And I don't care if you're in the mid-sentence. When 18 and a half minutes comes up, I just want you to walk off the stage. That's probably the best case scenario for Joe Biden tonight, because he's just not up for this, as we know. By the way, Trump has decided to counter-program. Now, as you know, we're going to be counter-programming here on The Blaze as well. If you watch Blaze TV, I think you'll really enjoy our coverage. It's going to be really funny, and it's going to be just mockery. Mockery, maybe some fact-checking here of the State of the Union as we go, with Dave Landau, Sarah Gonzalez, Michael Malice, Glenn Beck, Jason Buttrell, great cast of characters. We're going to be talking about that tonight. Now, you'll also have the opportunity to go over to see a little of Donald Trump's kind of real-time reaction. He's announcing he's doing a live play-by-play of Biden's State of the Union address. That should be entertaining at the very least. There's a lot going on, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You can flip back and forth. You can watch some, watch the other. It's going to be great. And of course, you'll always have Blaze TV's coverage on demand if you want it as part of your Blaze TV subscription, blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew. Now, one of the arguments they will make tonight explicitly is that Joe Biden has done more in 3 years than most presidents do in multiple terms. And I think the reflexive response from conservatives is, like, wait, what? What do you mean you've done more? You've been a disaster as a president. But again, you have to understand the wording of this is key. He's not saying he's done anything good. He's just saying he's done more. And honestly, I kind of have to give it to him. He has done more to destroy this country in 3 years than any other president has done in multiple terms. That's something that I wouldn't be bragging about, but it is true. He has actually got a lot done, especially considering how small his majorities are. And remember, you go back to the Obamacare era. Obamacare got through by the skin of its teeth. Obama had 60 senators at one point when he started, and they barely got that thing through. Biden has altered our country in ways I would argue that are more significant. Certainly what he's done on the border, what he's done with inflation, a lot of his proposals, his spending have done this. I mean, what he did in Afghanistan is, you know, I think disqualifying for him to ever be president again. But also, like, one of the biggest, I mean, he's really altered the American experiment. Like, he has taken a country admired for its military and admired for its stance in the world and destroyed it. We've become a laughing stock for a lot of these reasons. He has done a lot. I wouldn't shake that down. I think he actually has. Now, of course, they're going to also try to pitch him as super sharp. Now, the way they do this, I don't know if it's Red Bull. I don't know if it's amphetamines. I don't know what it is, but they try to get him up for these big moments. And he actually hasn't been as bad as normal in these big moments. It could just be, if you want to be kind and generous, he gets the adrenaline going for a few minutes. There's not much left. Not a lot of testosterone, I don't think, anymore. Things have faded away. I don't know what kind of shots he's getting. We'll see. The bottom line is, though, I think he's a guy who's fading, but has been able to get up a little bit for these big moments. The left is always trying to tell you he's as sharp as a tack. We will see if that's true tonight. And of course, no matter what he does on the stage tonight, he's going to be praised. He's going to be treated as if he hit an absolute home run. But the question really is not whether he can give a speech or not. The question is what has happened to the country? What has happened over the last year? What has happened over the past 3 years? Not a lot of good things. You know, again, I mentioned Afghanistan. We've completely forgotten about that. It's the worst foreign policy disaster in American history in my lifetime. That's just like one of the first things he did. The border is out of control. Inflation has been out of control. The economy has been incredibly shaky. So many things have gone wrong. And, you know, normally there's never a good response. You know, Katie Britt, God love her. I hope she does a great job tonight. Usually that response is a disaster. So I'm going to give you the maybe a better version of what the Republicans should be talking about. This is from Mike Johnson's office. He kind of did a pre-response. Hey, what has happened to you over the past few years, America? Because do you want more of this? Here's the video from the office of the speaker.
And my report is this. The State of the Union is strong. You should come. Surge to the border.
Migrants surge across from Mexico.
Pushing resources to the limit.
Some of those thought part of the terror watch list.
Every state is a border state. Every city is a border city.
Sharp rise in the amount of drugs.
8,500 pounds of fentanyl.
Cartel controls everything that happens here.
America is at a breaking point.
Joe Biden is touting Bidenomics.
Bidenomics is working.
78% of voters view the economy negatively.
And that the president is to blame.
We're changing people's lives.
Unrelenting price increases.
Sticker shock is hitting millions of Americans hard.
The highest economic growth in 40 years.
The highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that.
Crime is dominating the headlines.
Surge of violent smash and grab robberies.
24% more murders.
The buck stops with me.
The Middle East in flames. Israel has formally declared war.
The Taliban has returned to power.
Embassy shuttered. The flag coming down.
Vladimir Putin doesn't fear this president.
Xi Jinping told President Biden China will reunify with Taiwan.
Weakness invites aggression.
Appeasement has failed.
This open season on America.
The country has soured on Joe Biden.
The most vacation days taken by a president.
The White House in damage control.
Where is the president? Why isn't he communicating?
As we've been discussing, you know, we've been facing a lot of tough times in this country and things are very uncertain. I mean, things maybe aren't as dismal as they seem because there is a point to life, right? Like your family, their future, your future. And we need to protect that. Everybody deserves a chance to be able to succeed in this country. It's what we have always provided. But lately, I don't know, this has been turning around. You need to be protected. You need to be reliant on yourself and your family. And you can turn to self-reliance with My Patriot Supply. MyPatriotSupply.com has helped millions of Americans, including me and my family, prepare for the uncertain future. Many of them start with four-week emergency food kits by Ready Hour. And with 16 food and drink varieties, there's no food boredom. You're not eating the same stuff every single day. You're going to have delicious food, over 2,000 calories a day. And here's a good thing, no starvation. I mean, it's one thing you want to avoid. That's just my, look, you don't have to take my advice. But I would say try to avoid starvation. Sealed inside ultra durable packaging, these meals last up to 25 years in storage. And you can stock up on all the food kits that your family needs at the website preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. You get each Ready Hour four-week food kit for $60 off. Also free shipping. Protect yourself, protect your people. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour. Start preparing at preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
I want to bring in Jason Buttrell. He's the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. Jason, you're going to be on with the State of the Union coverage later on tonight, talking about your documentary. I want to get to that in a second. But first, let's talk about the State of the Union a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've been following the border really closely, obviously all the developments in the Middle East and Ukraine. Like, where does the president go tonight? Because I feel like he's got nothing, no defensible path here. I in some ways, sympathize with him because there's almost nothing he can do here. Everyone knows he's failed in these things.
I mean, as a writer for a personality, I sympathize for the writer on this one.
Yes.
Because, like, Biden don't know. He's just going to read whatever, he's going to try to read whatever's put in front of him. But, I mean, how do you, as you laid out, how do you spin it? You look at foreign policy. How, in any way, do you continue to make the case for Ukraine when you have a huge block of the voter base that does not want to continue to fund this war?
Mm-hmm.
They don't. But then, so you somehow, I guess, try to have to appeal to them, but also your basically entire party is fully on board with continuing this war. They don't understand the outcomes, and somehow you have to push that aside in this State of the Union. Like, oh yeah, it's perfectly fine. You know, we're not inching towards World War III at all. We're just going to continue to supply them with long-range weapons, and it's all good. You know, no big deal. I don't know how you make that case. And on the flip side, just sticking with foreign policy, how do you continue to make the any case at all with Israel? If you're in his position.
So yeah, it's a tough spot.
You already have, you know, activists eating their own. You know, they're eating AOC at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow trying to tell her, just call it a genocide. She probably has about a billion times.
She kind of acted like she had said it, but then wouldn't say it for them for whatever reason. I mean, I can sympathize with that, too. Like, if someone's coming up to me like, you have to say X, Y, and Z, screw you. I'll say whatever I want. You know, like, I actually kind of felt for her in that moment in a weird way, because I think she's actually completely anti-Israel and totally wrong on this issue, and it's not a genocide, and all the real reasons, you know, actual factual information that backs that up.
Yeah.
But, like, if anyone's been anti-Israel, like, if she's not anti-Israel enough for you, what vision of the world do you have? It seems to look a lot like Mein Kampf.
Yeah, that's true. But a big part of the voter base also kind of sound like Mein Kampf.
I know.
On this. And it was so much. Like, how do you talk about this issue during the State of the Union and appease them in any way? Because even if you try to appease them, then you're going to piss off a significant portion in your own, you know, within the Democratic Party and independents that support Israel.
Yeah.
But I mean, what were the numbers that just decided to not vote or vote?
Uncommitted
in Michigan.
Yeah. There was some decent. It was 100,000 people, I think.
It was enough to give them what, one or two delegates at the at the actual DNC when it kicks off. So, I mean, that's a significant problem for them. I don't know how he addresses it.
The traditional approach here, right, is when you're in this situation, let's say with Israel, you know the right and a lot of the middle wants to defend Israel. They're one of our closest allies. You know you have this left-wing flank that is, like, you know, nuts, right? They want Israel taken out completely. I don't know where Joe Biden stands on that, if he stands anywhere. I don't even know. He just seems to, at some of these issues, he just kind of, like, stands in the middle and hopes. But, like, the traditional advice from a political consultant would be like, okay, it's general election time. You've won the primary. You're the candidate. These people on your far left will eventually fall in line when they see Donald Trump as the alternative. Appeal to the people in the middle. Go after them and say, hey, look, Israel is actually in the right here. We don't want them to go too far, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, a ceasefire is not the answer. Something like that. That is not the path he is taking. And it's weird because he was sort of pitched as the guy that would take that path, this sort of milquetoast in the middle guy. That's not who he is.
Yeah. I was laughing at his, the path they have taken and the way they've been trying to toe the line. And I'm sure that will continue tonight. But this whole talk of the ceasefire, you know, during this month, which, I mean, it's totally, what an amazing piece of foreign policy that is from the Biden administration. Who has ever thought of a ceasefire in the Middle East during Ramadan?
Wow.
How did they get that done?
I know.
That's never shocking. Been done in the history of the Middle East, ever. Wow. Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
It's a stunner.
That was a win. Good job, Biden. It's just insane. I think it'll be more of that, more of taking, you know, credit for things that we're really probably heading in that direction anyway.
Yeah.
Similar with jobs. You pivot towards like the economy. I don't know how on earth he makes any of that sound credible. I mean, they've tried. They continue to push down, you know, our throats of most jobs in the history, blah, blah, blah. Even though they've been fact-checked even by the Washington Post on that, they continue to say it. I don't know what you can say. I don't know how you can convince independents, which that's got to be who he's targeting now, big time on this, and make it somehow seem like they're not paying more at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Or make it seem like somehow they can afford to buy that first home. You can't change that.
Yeah.
This has got to be one of the hardest State of the Unions, I think, to prepare for as far as his policy people. I can remember in a while.
This is what happens when you suck as a president, right? It's really hard to prepare for these speeches because you have nothing you can say. He's going to try to buy more people off. You mentioned the buying a home. He's going to try to buy people off with $5,000 payments, apparently, if you're a first-time homeowner. He's going to do a bunch of that type of crap.
You know what I would do, Stu?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm his people, I would be like, there has got to be like an annual convention of Jimmy Carter-era policy people, you know, like his staff.
Yeah.
Maybe if they just like go to one of those conventions and be like, help us out here. Like, how did you guys spin the Carter administration?
Well, not
like,
well.
I'll take
they
notes
lost.
And copy it line by line.
You forgot this didn't work.
It didn't work, no. But we need some, you know, some kind of inspiration, period.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, it's funny because going back to the Middle East for a second, to just show the position that these guys are in. And again, they deserve this position, every bit of it. This is their doing and they are terrible at what their jobs are. So I don't have any sympathy for them in that respect. But just looking at it from the tactical, like, you know, sports fan view here, how do you do this? What's your strategy? Like, Corinne Jean-Pierre, I listened to an interview with her this morning, and I do this so you don't have to.
I'm sorry.
It was terrible. She was, I mean, again, just terrible. But at one point, she was talking about the Hamas ceasefire, and she's like, you know, like, what do you say to people who want the ceasefire? Well, you know, we have we have a proposal on the table that we hope Hamas accepts. So, wait a minute. Who is opposing the ceasefire here? If we have a proposal on the table, I assume that means the United States, in conjunction with Israel, right? If we're only waiting for Hamas to accept it, why again are the people who are defending Israel getting blamed for the lack of a ceasefire? At some point, someone needs to ask Hamas, hey, do you guys want a ceasefire? And we should, before you say yes or no to that, remember, that means you stop firing too. Because what they seem to want is a ceasefire from Israel.
Yeah, the problem is none of them actually ask Hamas what they really want. And that's got to be by design.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, because you don't want to hear from the river to the sea chanted in your face.
You don't want to hear about, you know, the eradication of Jews and Israel. They don't really want to. This is one of the craziest left-wing positions. And there's a lot of them, as you know. But to be able to defend. But they try anyway. Like, you will see entire LGBTQ, elemental P marches going down the street supporting Hamas. And then I'm like, what would they do to you?
Hey guys, like, I have terrible news.
Like, I'm sorry to break this to you, but...
Especially when they're so offended by a joke. They're offended by a Dave Chappelle comedy routine about the transgender movement. But they're, like, fine with Hamas basically saying we'd eliminate all transgender people. That's totally fine.
It makes no sense.
Okay. So do you think, I mean, knowing Joe Biden, and I will say this about Joe Biden, I was trying to work through this with Glenn on radio today, so let me just pitch this at you and tell me if you think this is real. But it's like, I feel like Joe Biden has a lot of really bad moments as president of the United States. We see them all the time, daily, weekly, all the time we see them. But in his biggest moments, he has not been at his worst. That doesn't mean he's been good in those moments, but he has not been at his worst in his biggest moments. You think of State of the Union addresses, debates, you know, against, we remember Paul Ryan, remember the Sarah Palin debates, even the ones against Trump. he wasn't good in those moments, but it wasn't as bad as he is on a normal speech at a school on a Wednesday, where he's like, and he can't even get the sentences out. I don't know if it's drugs, I don't know what it is, but he does seem to get up a little bit for these big moments.
Yeah, it looks like when he really falters is when he tries to, because he used to be a whole lot better at this, yeah, on just kind of ad-libbing and throwing in like his old, like, you know, he would try to create this like blue collar, you know, charm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the old Lunchbox Joe routine.
Old Lunchbox Joe, that mm-hmm. type of thing. And that's when that's where I think he believes, like, when he looks at his qualities, that's where he sees his qualities.
Yeah.
The problem is now is that when he looks away from the prompter and wants to inject that, and he puts that call out for some cool idea and some anecdote, there's no answer back anymore.
It doesn't show up. Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't show up.
But in his coaching, and they know this, and I'm sure Joe Biden knows this as well. I'm sure it's depressing to him, but I'm sure that they tell him to make sure you stick to, you know, the script. So as long as he's able to read, as long as his eyeball doesn't start bleeding like it did in that one debate, he should be okay.
That's true.
You got to be terrified, though. I mean, you have to be if you're on his staff. It's so bad that they have the Easter Bunny following him around at events to pull him away when he starts going off on a tangent.
Yes.
But, I mean, you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I mean, they must be terrified. It's a very real reality that, you know, tonight, a major bet, you know, a crazy faux pas could happen. He could say something crazy just blank out.
The aging process hits all of us, right? Like, and it's like one of those things where I have this theory that basically the aging process of the brain is essentially like you're going in reverse technology order of the internet. Like you start out with like today's like high speed and it goes back to like cable modem. And then all of a sudden, 14, as you get older, you're at 14.4. And he's at like 2400 baud at this point. He's on dial up. He keeps getting busy, you know, signals when he tries to dial in. He's on AOL. Well, yeah. It's just things are working really slow.
Yeah.
Occasionally, a piece of information will pop up. It'll be like a picture popping up really slow on your screen, but that's about it. All right, so we'll see if this happens tonight. We have the State of the Union coverage coming up tonight. And we're going to have a preview, is this right, of your new documentary?
Yeah, we should have the trailer tonight.
And oh, wow.
It sounds like, I don't know if I should say that. It's coming out very soon. The documentary is coming out very soon. I'll just say that so I don't get in trouble.
Okay.
But yeah, hopefully tonight we'll get a trailer of it. And I really want everyone to see this because there's some pretty big bombshell things to drop here.
It's on the border.
It's on the border. We actually went to Eagle Pass and went to Shelby Park, took a look around there, talked to some amazing people. Also embedded with the trucker convoy because we realized that the mainstream media wasn't even bothering to ask them what they were all about.
Right.
So we did. We rode with them, talked with them. It was great. But some of the things we found out was pretty disturbing. Like, for instance, right now, I think it's like around 95% of the migrants that were coming in over in December when it was just absolutely nuts have stopped in Texas. Now we're seeing surges of upwards of 7,000 a day, but it's spread out in other states like Arizona, New Mexico, California. You're not seeing anything like that in Texas anymore. Well, why?
Mm.
Why did it suddenly shift? Well, I think that we talked to some people that explain exactly why it did shift. And let me just say that I think that a lot of times the stuff that we hear from both the Republican Party, people that we think that we trust, and obviously from, you know, the Democrats, the left, and Joe Biden, is all a huge lie. And this documentary will explain why.
Can't wait to hear about it. It's going to be, we'll hopefully have the trailer tonight. If not, we'll have it very soon. Jason Buttrell, he's the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck and documentarian.
Now,
have you put that on your card yet, your resume?
It's going on my ex profile.
Nice.
When I go sit down.
That's a good one. Documentarian's a solid one. All right, Jason, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Joe Biden, ahead of the State of the Union, is telling people that he wants the Haley supporters, if he can get them. Biden says there is a place for Haley supporters in my campaign. He missed Donald Trump's response to this. He was basically like, aha, Nikki Haley lost by 50. You suck. Now, that's, you know, arguably true. However, you know, is it the best approach? My guess is it's not all honestly all that important what the approaches are here, but Biden is trying to embrace these Haley people. He said Donald Trump has made it clear that he doesn't want Nikki Haley supporters. I want to be clear, there is a place for them in my campaign. Okay, well, there you go. We'll see if that happens. By the way, one of the things of the Nikki Haley campaign that pissed off a lot of people on the right, and one of the reasons why her favorability fell so far during the primary was, you know, her super PAC was a lot of money from Democrats, and it really wasn't a sincere effort to get her elected. It was like basically an effort to bash Trump. And, you know, it seemed pretty transparent. But if it wasn't transparent for you yet, the pro-Haley super PAC has relaunched as Haley Voters for Biden. Now, that was pretty quick. It seemed like they might have had that one ready to go, maybe. Seems like the whole point this entire time was a pro-Biden point and not a pro-Haley point. Again, Nikki Haley cannot control her super PAC legally, so that's a different story, but still it is notable from their motivation standpoint. Now, if you can't beat Donald Trump and the Haley thing doesn't work, what do you do? Throw Trump in prison. It's a good way to go. Supreme Court is setting his immunity claim in D.C. for April 25th. So that's about where we expected the timeline to go. Probably June before we get that ruling. So this is going to be right in the heat. If they decide to go ahead with this, going to be right in the middle of campaign season, along with these other trials. Look, maybe our country is more resilient than I think. It's hard to see how this country withstands stuff like this. When you think about it, it gets terrifying. It really is, as to what this could turn into. And finally, The Intercept has a great headline. On Israel, Trump is even worse than Biden. And you might say, well, wait a minute. When Donald Trump was president, they had all this peace. They signed these accords with other Arab nations. They moved the embassy to Jerusalem without all the predicted terror that was supposed to happen along with that. But if you think it from the Intercept's perspective, it's basically true. I mean, if your goal is from the river to the sea, then yes, on Israel, Trump is even worse than Biden. If you actually care about the people in Israel at all, you probably have a different opinion on that one. Joe Biden is supposed to talk tonight about prescription drugs, which is like standard fare for every Democratic State of the Union. They're going to say, oh, we're going to get your drugs lower, and then it never happens. What's fascinating about that is maybe instead he could just address the fact that we're having trouble even getting our medications anymore, let alone what they cost. The Jace case can help you solve this because we have these medication shortages now. It's part of life in America, embarrassingly so. So get a Jace case on hand. It's a personalized emergency medication kit that contains 5 essential antibiotics, which treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It's customizable. It has dozens of add-on medications, and you can choose the ones that best fit you and your family's needs. Plus, you can get a gift card for someone. Maybe if they're not close by. Get them a gift card. Let them sign up. Let them get their own Jace case for their house. Jace is simple, of course. You go online, you fill out a form, and you get a prescription. You get these life-saving medications delivered right to your door and have them in case of emergency or maybe just travel. Jace case gives you peace of mind so that you're not just hoping you have access to medication in an emergency. You actually have it. Go to jacemedical.com, enter the code STU at checkout. You'll get a discount right now. The promo code is STU at jacemedical.com, J-A-S-E medical.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical. I'm joined now by Rob Eno. He's the resident media critic right here at The Blaze. And Rob, it's a big night tonight for Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. You know the passion's going to be there. You know he's going to be on top of all the facts. You know, this guy is just built for this job. What do you expect from him tonight?
Well, he'll be pumped of Adderall as well, so that he can stay up and maybe have a couple of bowls of ice cream before he goes on. Mm-hmm. I just expect him to act like absolutely nothing's wrong. I read that one of the big things that he's going to announce is that the United States is going to build a port to Gaza so that aid can get in. Of course, you know, no weapons will be smuggled in by Iran. And
no,
there won't be any of that. Yeah. And they said, but don't worry, there won't be boots on the ground. How does the U.S. military build a port without having boots on the ground?
That's a good question. Do we know the answer to that?
Are they all just going to swim? We're going to send in the SEAL teams and they're going to do it, but they're never going to actually put the boots on the ground. They'll just be on the sand.
Right. Maybe it's a floating
the water.
Dock and they just push it toward the shore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's absolutely. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, you know, they're going to ignore the border. He's going to blame.
Wait, do you think he's going to ignore the border? Because I think he's going to say the border is the Republicans' fault.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Probably. Right. Yeah. So you don't think
he's going to say that the inflation problem is corporate greed and not the fact that they printed money crazy. I had a friend We were talking about this Doritos stupid thing with the trans pedophile person there.
Yeah. I heard a little bit
and
about
he, and he was like, you Republicans now, you just, you know, you glum on everything. And, you know, he was like 15 years old. And who hasn't wanted to kill somebody? This person just put it on Twitter. And I'm like, right. You know, I probably want to kill politicians every time I do groceries now.
Right.
With inflation.
Right.
In Minecraft, of course, not in real life.
Of course.
But, no, I just think that that's the kind of stuff they're going to try and take no credit for it. I mean, Nate Silver had a great piece this morning or yesterday. 83% of the people that voted for Joe Biden aren't going to vote for him again. Swing voters are going to break Trump's way.
Wait, in what category? 83% of
anybody that voted for Joe Biden are going to vote for him. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So
yeah,
17% aren't. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
17% though is a massive.
When it's only 3% for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the swing voters that are moving away from Biden because swing voters remembered when they didn't want to kill people when they went to the grocery store and buy something like spinach that used to cost 98 cents at Walmart and now costs $2.29.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's interesting because I think the philosophy in 2020 for the Democrats to win that election was actually a sound one, which was, Donald Trump is such a figure that draws media attention. He draws all the attention. If we just run basically a giant zilch, he will win because everything will be about whether you like Donald Trump or not. And we're in the middle of all these passions and everyone's pissed off about it, either really excited or really pissed off. And I think we can win because Donald Trump isn't particularly popular. Like, that's a generally good thesis. That thesis can't repeat itself in 2024, though, because now it's not a giant zilch. Joe Biden is not a manila envelope. He is a guy who's been ruining the country for 3 years.
Right.
And then Trump, for all the things that people don't like about him, and there are plenty, there are a lot of reasons why people won't vote for Donald Trump. Those all feel sort of distant and quaint now compared to what's just happened over the past 3 years. So if they try to rerun this again, run it back, I think they're going to have real problems.
Right. And the left will say that it's, you know, the gas prices. Oh, it was, you know, the middle of COVID, all of those things. Grocery prices didn't cost that much before COVID.
Right.
You know, it's all of these things just going on top of each other. And people are hurting more today. If you haven't gotten a raise since 2020, you're making 25% to 30% less. Your dollar goes 25% to 30% less than it was in 2020. These things hurt people's paychecks and paper book or pocketbooks. And then you look at things like, you know, cities that are rampant with crime. Governor Hochul sends the National Guard for the crime problem in New York, which is mostly migrant driven. Mm-hmm. The state of Massachusetts has a must shelter law. So they're paying, you know, I think it's $62 a day for people to eat, for migrants to eat. I don't know if you saw that story a few weeks ago. Like, that's what they're paying the catering company in some of these.
It's incredible.
Some of these hotels that they're putting up migrants because they have a right to shelter law. You know, all of these things people know, and it's not just crazy right-wing Republicans that are getting upset at it.
It's weird. The New York has, like, someone posted this on Twitter, a version of this, which is so true. It's like that New York basically on Democratic side have two speeds, which is one, the purge. Everything goes, no crime will ever, you will never be arrested for anything. And the other is like stop and frisk. Like you're just, every single person, no matter whether they've even been accused of anything wrong, is getting frisked and pushed to the side. It's like, it's a very strange dichotomy there.
And that's what I think they're doing on the subway, right? That they're going to do like check every bag on the subway now.
Yeah.
Like they used to.
You got the feds involved. Like they're doing everything they can in New York. It's a very strange situation. And it's funny because like you saw on MSNBC the other day, Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid, and Jen Psaki joking about, oh, I can't believe these people in West Virginia think immigration's the problem. What are they worried about? Their border with West Virginia? Ha, 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 ha. Yet one of the cities that they've been talking about for months, and everyone has, is Washington, D.C., where they do actually share a border. And they are having such a massive problem there, and in New York, and Chicago, and Boston, and everywhere else, that it can't be ignored anymore. This idea, what Greg Abbott has done, and a lot of people have criticisms, especially in Texas, about Greg Abbott. Outside of Texas, I think people think he's really good if you're conservative. Right. But if you're in Texas, yeah, high standards. But just that one thing that he has done has completely changed this debate and has put the Republicans in a position that they should not screw up, where they should absolutely win this election. If you can't win an election as a Republican with immigration as your top issue among all voters nationwide, you're never going to win one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that this plays right to Trump's strengths. Now, will he do something about it? He didn't do something about it really. Well, he did do some stuff about it.
He had the
you know, stay in Mexico, all of those things. And you got Joe Biden saying, well, I can't do stay in Mexico because the Mexicans don't want them to stay there. So?
You can do a stay in Mexico if you secure the border.
Right.
Right? That's the key. Okay. If you stop them before they come in, then they have
to
stay
in Mexico.
That's
exactly
how that works.
And then Mexico is going to secure its southern border.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't just be the transit point. You know, it's which is what they did under the Joe Biden presidency, or under the Donald Trump presidency. And as soon as Joe Biden took over, you saw that caravan just start marching its way through the Darien Gap and up here. I mean, China's building roads in the Darien Gap, which is, the Darien Gap is the small bit of Panama that's between Panama and Colombia that is like the most densely jungled area that, you know, the Pan-American Highway goes from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego, but doesn't go through the Darien Gap. Well, good news, the Chinese are kind of making roads there now. So maybe the Pan-American Highway can go there and we won't have to foot the bill.
Amazing. All right, let me ask you a question, because you've had many roles throughout your life. One of them is working on campaigns.
Right.
So kind of put yourself in a position, and I know this is difficult, but if Joe Biden is your candidate, this is who you have. You've got him. He's got to make this speech tonight. He's got to talk about the economy. He's got to talk about the border. He's got to talk about this stuff. How would you advise him to go through this tonight?
Read the teleprompter. Don't go off script. Take all of your Adderall and eat seven pints of ice cream and go to and not get up until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll put the lid on in the morning.
Right.
And we'll take the lid off at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I mean, in all seriousness,
and
like,
don't walk like this when you get off the stage.
Try to watch one direction and keep going in that direction.
Yeah.
Would you tell him? And I think this will be one of my main pieces of advice. Keep it freaking short.
Yeah.
You know, the American people have a short attention span anyway. The Adderall may last him 20 to 30 minutes. Keep it around that range. Get in, get out, get it over with.
Right. And I would actually tell him to keep his temper under check, because the Republicans are going to jeer him, they're going to do everything, and he could have a massive meltdown because he is prone to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're in the cognitive state that Joe Biden's in, it's hard to not have that crazy breakdown. I mean, I think you could see that at this State of the Union.
Yeah, I thought you could too. You know, it's interesting because, as you know, you work behind the scenes in campaigns, especially in a presidential campaign. You have hundreds of people whose basic job is to make sure the candidate looks as good as possible. And like every prominent person has people around them saying, like, I wouldn't do that. You know, why don't you go this way? Why don't you kind of stay away from this problem area? What we're seeing of Joe Biden, which is so disturbing to all Americans, you know, what is it? 86% of Americans think he's too old to do this job right now. What we're seeing is like the best possible version of him. Like, we're seeing all the times that all these amazing political experts are saying, yeah, I guess it's okay to put him in this position, and he's falling on his face. They're not, like, I think the most revealing moment of this entire campaign so far is Joe Biden not taking the Super Bowl interview. That is like, it's mind-blowing. It's an easy interview. It's with a friendly media source. It's the biggest stage you can possibly have before the biggest television event of the year. And he rejected that. The only reason is the people around him must have said, this is more likely to go terribly wrong for us than go right. And if you have that as a candidate, why would you want him on your ticket?
Right. It's exactly what happened right after the special counsel's report came out.
Mm.
About how he was cognitively, he couldn't remember when his son died, all of that stuff.
Well-meaning elderly person with poor memory. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they had that press conference to show that he was on top of it, and it was a train wreck.
Yep. The way they push back against this seemingly is, what if we show him angry? Right? Like, they've leaked this to the media a bunch of times. I'm sure you've noticed this, where they're like, actually, behind the scenes, he's taking his people to task. He's yelling at him. He's swearing. He's calling Donald Trump this name. He's calling Mitch McConnell this name. And it's like, well, I don't know. That seems more like consistent with senility.
Right, exactly.
Like Alzheimer's. This is
old man yells at tree.
Yeah, old man yells at tree. And it seems like their effort to push back is actually making it worse.
Absolutely. And it depends on what he has, right? I have a lot of my family has frontal temporal dementia, FTD.
Mm.
And that is one of the things that happens is your
scary
personality changes and you just get angry and mean at people.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
We were out of time because I wanted to go into the Hunter Biden email that came out today. The media is not covering that either. We're going to have to hold off on that one till next time. Rob Eno, he's a resident media critic right here at Blaze Media. Rob, thanks for breaking this down for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Coming up next on Blaze TV is Blaze TV's roast of Joe Biden as he delivers what will hopefully be
his final State of the Union address as President of the United States. Doesn't that sound just amazing when I said that? Join myself, Glenn Beck, Dave Landau, Sarah Gonzalez, Jason Buttrell, and Michael Malice as we react to what is sure to be a memorable speech, for better or for worse. Check it out, blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code stew and you will save $20. Stay tuned. The Blaze TV roast of Joe Biden is coming up next.